Hello, good evening. Welcome to another episode of Guns and Yellow Ribbons. I'm Fergus. I'm your host of this podcast. Tonight, we're going to be looking back at Brighton versus Arsenal and looking ahead to the quarterfinals of the Champions League. Arsenal, top of the league again.
Get ready for the world's greatest Arsenal podcast. Welcome to another podcast by Guns and Yellow Ribbons. Enjoy the show.
Hello, lads. Jesus, I'm surprised I've even got any voice or liver or anything after that weekend. It was an early start in Brighton, an awful train journey back, and copious amounts of beer, gin, rum and cokes, everything drank. Dan, can you speak?
Fergus, I don't feel very well. My voice is just about coming back, but I don't feel very well. Don't right away. It's not good for you.
Trevor, before we came live, you came along and said you think you've had a 24-hour delay on your hangover.
Yeah, I didn't feel too bad yesterday, but I've struggled through today. I really have. I'm a bit croaky as well, which is highly unusual for me, but I don't care. What a day we had, eh? What a day we had in Brighton. Even the trains being just awful on the way home, but weren't going to spoil it, were they? What a brilliant day in Brighton.
I can't understand why you don't have a voice.
$6 million.
Where did that come from?
Alex, who unfortunately can't be here today, but that means Dale, you're here. Alex sent that to me before he jumped on the plane back to Denmark. Dale, welcome, and thank you for filling in for Alex.
Always a pleasure, and just proper jealous of you guys on Saturday. Looked like a fantastic trip, but I watched it from the comfort of my local pub, and probably drank just as much as you guys. So glad to see you back all in one piece.
I don't think you could have. I don't think
I don't know.
Honestly.
There's still things coming back to me that I'm getting, like, piecing the puzzle back together. And that video is another one that I've not seen. And watching the game back, I'm watching it back thinking, I don't remember that. I don't remember the flares going onto the pitch.
Well, you know what? The one that sticks out, I was okay in the second half, or towards the end of the first half. But I remember seeing, we'll talk about it in a minute, the foul on, I didn't know who it was, but I just saw the referee pointing. I thought, oh yeah, we got a decision go our way. And then I heard everyone scream and I went, oh, Saka scored. Oh, was that a penalty?
It's like the train journey home. Everyone complaining was saying how long it took to get home. I genuinely didn't realise. I must have sung a song or two on the way home because...
Well, there was one lady who had... I don't know if she had an earache or something like that, but I don't think she liked us very much. She...
I tried to make friends with her, but I don't think it worked, to be honest.
No.
Singing a song and everything.
Yeah. I made friends with some locals as well because I was singing some songs and they wanted to, you know, grab the words out of my mouth, but we won't go into that too much, but yeah.
That's not just here, Fergus, to be honest with you. That's... You do that everywhere you go, mate. I'm going to blame you for that one.
They're my heroes.
They're your heroes. This is us. This is us away. There's quite a few of us behind the famous Mikel Arteta's armies over land and sea flag with Lyle and Sam and Ewan. And there's loads of us there. We had a fantastic away trip. It was absolutely brilliant. You know, we'd only won two, drawn two and lost two at the Amex. So it wasn't a happy hunting ground. The last time we went, it was 4-2. Before that, I think we lost 3-0. And Brighton, Dan, everyone thought this could have been the banana skin that we were worried about.
Brighton are a good side, and I think they were unbeaten at home since August, wasn't they? So, you know, you go into a place where they don't often lose. I think their man is a very, very good coach, and they've got some very good young players sort of supplemented with some really good experienced players as well. So they play good football. They press you hard. They're not a team that's going to sit back and let you sort of go at them. They'll get at you just as much. So I think it's down to us of how good we are that, relatively speaking, I don't remember them still having too many chances. And I think a stat I looked at, they had about two shots. I think it was two saves that Raya made, which I think was his most in the last few weeks that he's made. But even still, just have just two chances at home shows how good we are.
Dale, looking at the lineup, Brighton lineup, I'll just put up there for people to see. It's a decent lineup. I don't know all of the players, but Danny Welbeck featured. Lamptey's a decent player. Dunk, solid centre half. So you know, it was a solid opposition. But our lineup was
that. Hang on, Ferg. You seem to have picked out the very four easy names that are four letters. Could you Absolutely. Read the rest of them out, please, for the Ozone audio?
What's that bottom one?
That's Estopina, is it?
That's close. Not bad for you.
That'll do.
So, goal, we got White, Saliba, Gabriel, Zinchenko. We had Rice, Jorginho, Odegaard, Saka, Jesus and Havertz. Really good to see also Trossard on the bench, and he comes on later on. But what did you make of the lineup? You were watching it through probably better eyes than us.
Yeah, I mean, I was the main question above my in my head before kickoff was left back. What he's doing in the left back position, because I thought it would give us a clue as to what he's going to do against Bayern. I now believe he'll probably start Zinchenko against Bayern. I really do, which I've got no issue with, but he does give me some question marks at the back at times. But that's not me criticising him at all. I just don't think Kivior did much wrong to be dropped, in all honesty. I do feel a bit for the guy. So I don't know what conversations have gone on behind the scenes. The left wing, or the left hand side again, the left forward position, I was a bit unsure about where he'd go with. Would it be Jesus again? There's obviously Nelly was fit. Would Trossard play a bigger part on the left this time? And he went with Jesus. I couldn't really fault the lineup, truth be told. Rice and Jorginho in the middle again, I think probably one of our strongest midfields in there. So yeah, no real surprises for me.
Mm. Trevor, what did you make of the lineup and the fact that Kivior didn't get into the lineup? Is that just maybe his seniority within the ranking of the team rather than ability? That's what I'm thinking.
No, well, do you know when I saw that? I'm struggling to talk here. When I saw that Zinchenko was back in, I was a bit worried because, as Dan was just saying, Brighton have got a really good record at home. They're a very decent team. And I thought, we're going to get some pressure on us from this Brighton side. So let's hope they don't get in behind Zinchenko. But nothing could have been, it was completely different, wasn't it? I mean, they had a couple of shots on goal, but if you look at the game as a whole, Brighton didn't trouble us at all, really. Weren't really in our league. It was a superlative performance, and it was a lineup. The game suited Zinchenko because he had the space to move around and do his thing, and he did it very well. Not sure about him leaving, him stopping in tomorrow night, Dale. I don't know if Bayern is a different game, a game where we need to be a little bit more respectful of their offensive qualities, and whether we need Tomiyasu or Kivior back in there. But as I say every week now, don't I trust our manager, so he can play who he likes, because that game on Saturday against Brighton, I thought it was one of our best performances of the season. We put aside that can cause upsets firmly in their place. They didn't get a look in. I was over the moon.
Trevor, I looked at it back on Match of the Day, and I've seen some of the extended highlights. And like everyone else, it was a revelation to me because I saw a lot of football I didn't see on the day. But what I did see was a team that looks very, very convincing. A team that is top of the league, and rightfully so, by the performance that we had on Saturday. The performance that we've had throughout since January, but in particular Saturday, we look like we're growing into that role of leaders.
They seem like they're believing in themselves more every game they play to me. They seem like they're getting more confident and realising just how good they are, the Arsenal team, every game they play. And it's really showing. And I mean, I could name any of them, but I've got to give Havertz another shout, you know. So in such an intelligent performance again. Such an intelligent performance again from Havertz. He was everywhere he needed to be, and he did everything right. Superb run for his goal. You watch the way he's going to run one way for his goal, and then he just changes his mind at the last second and goes behind and gets in front of the defender. Superb, superb. And then, of course, it was Havertz's quick ball that put Trossard through for his goal as well. So Havertz, superb, but the whole team, mate. I think confidence is now starting to really show just how good they are.
I think it's important to mention as well. Sorry, just on the whilst we're on the team there, the strength of the bench. I can't remember the last time we had a bench this strong. I mean, we had Smith Rowe, Kivior, Partey, Trossard, Martinelli. What a bench! Historically, we've always kind of had one eye on the bench, going, "Is there anybody who can make a difference and come on there?" Now we've got five or six who can come on and make a difference.
On a slight aside, I still think we need to strengthen our squad. I still think we need to strengthen our squad in the summer. But
moving on.
let me take that off. Dan, early on in the game, we did have a couple of I think we had four chances in particular. Gabriel came really close with a header. So did Jesus. Saka came close. He went wide. That opening 15 minutes before the penalty was, now you've watched it back, was intense, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, watching it back, it was intense. But if I'm totally honest, I wasn't worried about the likes of Zinchenko at all at the time because I didn't even know they were playing. But watching it back, to be honest, I think Gabriel should have scored early on. I mean, we had a couple of other chances. We probably should have buried at least one of them. But we're a good side now. And I think I'm not worried about us scoring goals as much. That was a worry, I think, earlier in the season. But, you know, I think we are a lot more clinical now. That it probably surprises us when we do miss those sort of chances. But I think it was interesting watching it back because I think I said on the day of the game as well, you compare the game last year at Brighton, the 4-2 game on New Year's Eve, and you look at this game this year. I think when you look at us as an attacking outlet, last year we probably looked a bit prettier and a little bit better going forward. But this performance was a much, much better performance than the one last year overall in terms of control, in terms of suffocating a good team like Brighton, barely giving anything away. And, you know, it could have ended up being 4, 5 and 6, let's be honest, if we buried our chances.
Del, I'll come to you on this, the penalty. I've got a video. I've got to play it while you talk. But there's talk about some people saying it shouldn't have been a penalty. I'll play the video and let's see what you think. And then, Trev, you can come in on it afterwards. Dale, you're on mute, I think, mate.
I am indeed, sorry. First things first, Stonewall penalty for me. The only person I've seen saying that's not a penalty is a former Brighton player. If you look at it, when the ball's travelling, yes, he does get a slight touch on the ball, but still going into the path of Jesus. He then continues to take Jesus out when he was going to run onto that ball quite clearly. Whether he'd have scored or not, who knows? But penalties don't decide whether he's going to score or not. Penalties decide would he have had the opportunity to. And it was a penalty. There's no two ways about it. Everybody, VAR, pundits alike, have said that's a penalty. And I cannot see anyone who thinks otherwise on that. I'm sorry.
Trevor, your thoughts on it?
Yeah, it was a penalty. It was a penalty in the modern game, especially. if that one at Old Trafford yesterday for Liverpool was a penalty, then ours was nailed on all day long. I can't see why. Well, I do know why the odd pundit says it wasn't. I just want to stir up the Arsenal fans for a bit of attention. But, yeah, it was clearly a penalty and it was very well dispatched by our great world-class young fella.
He did get a slight touch of the ball, though, Dan. It's a very, very, very slight touch. But he takes more Jesus than the ball, doesn't he?
That's the rule now. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you get the ball or not. If you can follow through the ball and get the man, or you can take the man after. It's a little bit irrelevant if you get the ball. It's about who's in control of the ball after you get it. And if the defender's not in control of the ball and he takes the man out, it's a penalty. let's be honest, if the defender doesn't touch Jesus, then he's still in control of the ball. So it's a foul for the same reason that the one at Old Trafford yesterday was a penalty, albeit this is probably about 20 times more of a penalty than that is, but for the same rule and the same reason.
Ferg, put a picture up again, please, mate. Put the other picture up again for a second.
I've just taken it down. I'll get it back, mate.
All right, mate.
I'll tell you, I'll just put the video on again. You can talk about it then. Go on.
Yeah, I mean, it's a modern day penalty, but it's a proper solid modern day penalty. The contact doesn't warrant Jesus doing a triple somersault and rolling around like that, you know, but that's how they go nowadays. And that's what they do when they think they've got a penalty. So it happens, well, it happens in every division in the UK, I dare say. So no arguments. It was a penalty. Nailed on.
To be honest, we will talk about theatrics in the game. We talked about it when we were watching the Sheffield Liverpool game when we're on Thursday night. We talked about play acting and theatrics, and we will go into that a little bit ourselves because one of our players needs to be, you know, talked to. But let's talk about Saka. Saka took a great penalty, and it was 1-0 to the Arsenal after 33 minutes. At 43 minutes, I think this is what you were talking about, Dan. David Raya made an excellent save. I do remember this, actually. I do remember this. it was an excellent save. The other end of the pitch from us. But I think that was one of the few things he had to do again in the game. It's this one here. It was a save from Essino. Is it?
Where do I start?
Why don't you just say it was a save from a Brighton player?
Brighton player, probably makes it easier.
I mean, also, just to let you know, that was at our end of the pitch, not at the other end. That was in front of our fans, mate.
Oh, yeah, it was, yeah.
But, you know, never mind. David Raya is, for me, one of the players that's now played himself into the side of being one of our sort of nailed-on players. And I think you could probably argue that there's 8 players in our team now that are guaranteed for big games. And the only 3 positions that might be up for sort of a bit of a debate is probably the left-back spot, maybe the centre midfield position when everyone's fit, and then at a clutch, the left-wing spot, which I still think for me is now done as Martinelli. You know, there's not many places in our team that I think you can question. And we've had lots of debate about goalkeepers, but for me, the stats don't lie. The number of clean sheets we've had, his concentration at times when he hasn't had much to do to then make sort of big saves when needed. And I'd probably say out of all of that, his distribution is the one thing everyone said was really good. He's probably not the thing that's impressing me as most with him. It's probably the other aspects of his game. And even things like collecting crosses and coming for balls, where the Luton game earlier in the season, people were questioning him. And I've not really seen him look uncomfortable since then.
For me, David Raya in particular, and it was some guy on, I might have been on TikTok or whatever, explained how he is part of our attack from the back, and it, not as a keeper, the sweeper keeper role, and the way he's the start of our attack, and the way he will either go send the ball out midfield towards Odegaard or send it up towards the wingers and Martinelli and Saka. I think he's. His speed, and it was only when we watched Ramsdale, who I love and adore, and I think he's a great player, and I'm not criticising in any way, but it was only when I saw Ramsdale play in, I can't remember what game it was recently, and just the couple of touches extra that he needs to take in the difference between Raya. So I think Raya...
I think we need to maybe not compare him to Ramsdale, because, you know, every time we make a positive about Raya, it doesn't mean it's a negative about Ramsdale. And Raya's got some fantastic qualities, but just because we call him out as being good for it doesn't mean Ramsdale doesn't have them too. So, I really wouldn't mind either goalkeeper if they're in there, but I think Raya has deserved it in a minute. And because of what he's good at, not as opposed to what Ramsdale isn't good at, is the reason why he's number one.
Yeah, that's a great shout, Dan. That really is a great shout, mate, because when it comes to the skill of goalkeeping, I honestly don't think there's anything between them. I don't think there's anything between them, but... As we've watched Raya grow into the side, I think his general demeanour and his attitude to the way he plays on the field gives us a different look. Maybe not a different look, it gives me a different feel about the side. I feel that we're more calm and composed about what we're doing. And I didn't think I'd ever say that when Raya first came in. I was a staunch supporter of Aaron Ramsdale. And I still am a supporter of Aaron Ramsdale. But I do like the way we appear to be not just really good at the back, we appear to be really calm at the back, right? We're really calm and confident and controlled. And that has to start from the goalkeeper. There's no other way about it. It has to start from the goalkeeper. Do you know what? I've just remembered something else from the game as well, boys. Ferg, Dan, Del. The beer was all right in the ground, wasn't it? Eh? The beer, unusually for a football ground, the beer was okay in the ground.
What was it?
Well, I was still, I can't remember, though. I don't know what it was. I don't look at it. I taste it. I drink it. But
you did choice between Heineken and Foster's. You had actually two lagers to choose from.
It was very good, the beer in the ground. Most, and you see, I was still in the tasting stage, and then I still hadn't had one of my two pints. So I couldn't decide which I was going
to. Well, you actually didn't have any beer because you bought your two beers on the train to go back and you didn't drink them. So you were sober. You didn't have any.
There's a reason for me not drinking my two beers on the train on the way back. As you well know, yeah.
Yeah, no, I know. But what I'm helping you out, mate.
All right. Okay. No, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, stone cold sober. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Listen, you mentioned this guy and he got his goal. Kai Havertz, but also look at Jorginho. Look at this. And there's a picture. I don't have it. I can't find it at the minute. There's a picture later with Jorginho and Trossard when Gabriel makes that last minute defense. But look at the unity amongst the team. And Trevor, you talked about Havertz and how much has that guy improved? This guy was like not quite a basket case, but people had him in that category, and he'd had an awful 3 years at Chelsea, yeah. Having bit parts, and he scored a Champions League winner, correct? But
Ferg,
he didn't really get going, did he?
Look, Ferg, both Havertz and Jorginho, they had a massive job on their hands when they came to our great club from Chelsea, because firstly, we've signed some people from Chelsea over the last few years, and they've been no good every time. So that was what people had in their heads. Oh, no, not another couple of players from Chelsea. And also, Havertz hadn't been playing that well at all, and Jorginho wasn't getting much of a look in. So, of course, the Arsenal fans, they're a bit worried. They're thinking, what have we done? Not again. What's happening here? And then, of course, Havertz takes a little while to get going, and we're all saying, yeah, he's not playing very well, but hopefully he'll improve. And he's not let us down, has he? As I said just now, his run for the goal was superb. The cross for the goal from Jorginho was superb because he looked up right at the last second, put it across. And that picture tells the whole story. That is the picture of the whole game, Fergus. Brighton players on their backsides, right? And Arsenal dominating. And on another day, I can't remember which one he just rightly said. On another day, we're singing who put the ball in the Brighton net. We are. We were that close to scoring a hatful. We were really, really very good. And Havertz and Jorginho, I'm really pleased to say, are an integral part of us being that good. He's not dropping Jorginho now, is he? I honestly think that his favourite two in the middle now are Rice and Jorginho. I honestly do. They're playing that well.
Mm. There were some substitutions then afterwards. At 64 minutes, Trossard and Martinelli came on for Jesus and Saka. And 72 minutes in, he came off and Tommy came on. 86 minutes in, your boy, Dale, the guy you said you wanted to sign before anybody else talked about it. We're all talking about trying to sign various players. And we signed Leandro Trossard. And he gets an amazing goal. It was a great run, very similar to the one he didn't square the other week against Man City, which could have, but it was a very similar run, I felt. Great goal, well taken. And classily, he was class in the way he stood there, took the applause, but didn't rub it in the Brighton fans' faces.
And me, Trevor mentions a minute ago about picture of the match. For me, that was my picture of the match. seeing Leandro Trossard stand there, take the applause, take the abuse, take it all in. I called it on Thursday, Friday's podcast. I called it. I said I can see him scoring. And I'm glad he did. I'm so glad he did. I was waxing lyrical about this guy about a year before we signed him. You can see the quality he's got. And I genuinely don't see what more he can do to get a starting berth in his team. The problem for him is he's got some quality in front of him as well. But to have that option off the bench is superb. Absolutely superb. When you look at, he was previously Brighton's first team, Brighton pushing for European places. He walks into most other Premier League teams. Can we just say that? And he's a part of a rotation with ourselves, happy to sit on the bench and come on and prove his worth when he does so. And I thought it was a fantastic finish. Great ball from, was it Havertz? I can't remember who played the ball for him as well.
It was Havertz.
Yeah, fantastic ball, can I just say, from Havertz as well, first time. Looked up, picked that ball straight away. Cracking goal. Thought it was fantastic.
Dan, where do you see Havertz's role then? Because he seems to be everywhere, especially in that game.
Well, I've seen him roll on the floor, roll down the wing, but yeah.
I mean,
save your voice, Trev.
Summed it up for me, to be honest. But I think, look, he's pushed himself into that centre forward role at the minute. I think he's done a job in terms of holding the ball up, bringing others into play, and he's started to chip in with goals as well. I think that run for that goal was a real, real good run as well. And it's the type of run that reminded me a little bit of a certain sort of horrible ex-player in Robin van Persie that used to make those sort of runs. And if he keeps doing that, when his confidence grows, he'll score many, many more goals. And I think it will take a lot of the minute to get him out of this team. I think that shows that's probably part of the reason why he's not rushed back Martinelli into the starting lineup and Jesus has played on the wing a bit more because of how good he's been. And then also added to the form of Jorginho, meaning he's not needed to drop back into central midfield as well. So it's form that's keeping people in that spot. And it's not far off of him having that as a permanent spot, I think, because of sort of the trust he's earned from Arteta.
Trev, when you finish yawning, I know we're keeping you up and everything.
Oh, I came off mute then too soon, didn't I?
you mentioned Havertz and that he has to be a starter, but a player that we haven't mentioned, but we did talk about when we're in the stands, was Declan Rice. Declan Rice, again, so simple, but so sublime.
Yeah, absolutely. Got to change the subject quick, Fred, because my good mate Bill's in the chat, right? And it was his lovely daughter Georgia's birthday this week. So I've just got to say, happy birthday, Georgia. I hope you had a great day. And I hope the cake that Bill made tasted better than it looked. He's going to batter me when he sees me, isn't he?
He is. You got away with it last time, but this time you're definitely getting done.
Yeah, he's going to kill me, yeah.
Yeah, Bill, he's not at Villa, so he's avoiding that one. He's not at Bayern, so you'll have to catch him out in Munich. And when he's at four steins in, then crack him one.
If I don't come back from Munich, people, get someone to arrest, will you? Billy Arnish. I think he'll probably know the answer.
Well, I'll tell you what.
What did you say? What was the question, Ferg? I forgot.
It was about Declan Rice, just that he was like, you know, he does everything so simple, but it's so sublime. It's just amazing to watch the guy, isn't it?
Yeah, the song fits the bill, doesn't it? And he smiles when we sing it. We got him half price. He's been worth every penny of that 105 million. And, you know, we're going to win something with him. If not this year, next year. Hopefully this year we'll win two things. But last year we looked a side that was capable of winning things. This year we look like a side that's definitely going to win something sooner or later. He's been that good. He really is. And he's we say it every week, don't we? It's getting a bit boring, I suppose, now, really. But his time on the ball, his spatial awareness is just second to none. We've signed a very high quality player to fit in what is now becoming a very high quality football team, Ferg.
You got Rice, who's probably the best in the league in that role, or one of the best, definitely the top two or three in that role. You've got Saliba, Gabriel, Raya would be up there in the top two or three in the league. So we're getting so many players that are top players. Ben White, another great player, ex-Brighton player. But Dan, he did let himself down a little bit. And I do hope that in the team talk on Monday when they were back at Colney, somebody showed him the video and said to him, Ben, you don't need to do this.
Fergus. What's talking shit for? Don't you pick on our Ben White. He can do what he likes. Player of the month. Player of the month. Best right back in the league. Couldn't care less.
No. Right, take your blinkers off. Dale, do you think that, you know, a slight brush on your chest and you hold your throat that you're garrotted is necessary for a player that of his quality as well? Because he can do an awful lot more with his football than rolling around like that.
Take away the player, take away the player of his quality, whoever it is. I don't want to see anybody in an Arsenal shirt doing that. I don't like it. We touched on it last week, saying it was creeping into Kai Havertz's game. Absolutely no need to. I saw one of the comments earlier as well about Kai Havertz. I think he had one of his best games. I don't think there's any need to be diving around like that, making silly lapses of judgment. I think Ben White, when he probably watches that back, he'll probably have a little giggle and a laugh to himself because it was so blatantly obvious. He'll know how stupid it was, but I don't think he'll think much to it. In all honesty, I don't think much will be said about it. They might have a bit of a laugh and a bit of a dig at him at training and just, like, I don't know, have a bit of a pop. But I think that'll be the last we see. I've never seen Ben White do that before, not really like that, and I don't expect to see it again.
No, I agree. The stats for that game was we had less possession than Brighton. We forgo possession, but as I think it was one of you guys said, they had two shots on target. We had six, 8 versus 13. An all-round fantastic performance by the Arsenal. And some people show their appreciation. People show their appreciation in different ways.
Trent was the
appreciation by getting his tats out for the girls.
I was told I looked like a Viking warrior today there.
No, the Viking warrior is the guy with his hands across his chest. That's oh no, he's not a Viking warrior. He's a Viking something else, isn't he? Well, we won't go into that one.
Do you know, Ferg, it's interesting, right, that picture, because we've all had a laugh at it, and I've had a laugh at it, and I thought long and hard whether to stick that on social media, do you know? And in the end of the day, I thought, balls to it, you know, balls to it. I celebrate my team winning games. And if that's how I want to do it, that's how I'll do it. And to be honest, he's had so many views on social media and comments today. And I think out of like hundreds of comments, I've had one like bit sarky one. But the rest are saying, let's celebrate. Then it's important, right? It's important. We touched on it the other day, right? Arsenal fans, be excited. Don't be embarrassed to be excited now. Don't be embarrassed to be expectant now. Don't be embarrassed to think we're going to win something now. Don't be embarrassed to say you think we're going to win something now. Because at the end of the day, we're right in it. And if we end up not winning anything, then we're going to get some grief. But we're only going to get grief from people that are jealous, right? And if you want to judge just how good we are, right, the only other English team that can win the biggest club competition in Europe this year is Manchester City, right? Manchester City, people love to say, and I've said it, they're possibly the best club team in the world, most highly likely the best club team in Europe. They are a team full of superstar players that play the game to an exceptionally high level, but they've not beaten us in three attempts this year. They've not beaten us in three attempts this year. Their star forward in three attempts hasn't had a shot on goal against us. Their England wonder boy, who I rate really highly, was substituted off at Man City because he couldn't get a kick. So we are that good. We are really that good. And be excited, Arsenal fan. Absolutely be excited. Ferg, one more thing. Just before, right, I don't want to forget this. I'd love to see people in the comments, Ferg, because I've had a long conversation today, saying what they'd prefer us to win. I know we all want to win both. We all want to win both, right? Yeah, that's a given. But if you could choose, what would you want to win most, the Premier League or the Champions League?
Are you asking me?
All of you and the viewers.
Oh, if I had to choose one, it's so difficult. I'd like to win the Champions League for sure, but the Premier League is such a competition that Viking princess, the especially with boobs like that,
Fergus, don't mention boobs because I've got a picture lined up. If you mention that again, you're in massive trouble, son.
You don't have the picture.
You are in massive trouble, son.
I think I'd err on the side of the Premier League only because it's such a massive achievement. We haven't done it for 20 years. I think I'd like that. But you know what? I think we talked about this in the pub, actually. I would like to win the league this year. I think we can win the league this year. But next year, I'm actually expectant to win the league or the Champions League because I think that's how the growth of this team is going. I'll leave the other guys give their answer.
Go on, Dale.
Yeah, it's a tough one because I think for me, the Premier League is more about consistency, especially when you've got teams like Liverpool and Man City in the league, two of the best teams in European football, without a doubt. But like I've seen Annabelle say in the comments, the Champions League for me, I've never seen us win it. I don't know if we'd get a chance to anytime soon to do it again. I've seen us win the Premier League. I remember how that felt and I'd love to experience it again. Don't get me wrong. But for me, the Champions League has to be the Champions League because I don't know when we're going to be in this position again. And yes, I do expect us to go forward, but why not both? But if I had to pick one, Champions League.
What about you, mate, Dan?
It's got to be the Champions League all day long. It's one that's missing from the cabinet. It's one that puts many other fans back in their place. And ultimately, it's what we wanted to build towards as a club when we brought Mikel in and the big changes we had at the top. You know, we wanted to be back firstly competing, but we said we wanted to win the Champions League. The truth is, yes, I want both, and I genuinely believe we can do both, if I'm totally honest. But follow-up question to you, Trev. You said about people should be able to start believing that we're going to win. At what point, if not now, can we start singing we're going to win the league on the terraces?
Everton game.
For me, that song's always tempted fate, Dan, for me. But why not, when we win a game, we sing it? Why not? If we got belief in ourselves, then we should sing it.
You know what, Trev? There was a huge...
I'll just go ask me a question, mate, one second, because I've not asked it. I'm for a bit of selfish reasons, really, mate. I want to see us win the Champions League. I really do, because I've seen us win the Premier League a few times, right? And I want to put, we've been a team of Arsenal's size, quality, caliber, not team, club, with our history and our, you know, and who we are and what we are and what we represent. To have not won the Champions League is sacrilege for me. We've been good enough a few times to win it and we've blown it as we have a habit of doing in Europe. So I'm desperate to see our football club lift the Champions League. And for me, I want to see, all day long, I want to see us win it.
There was a huge sign on Saturday evening to show what's happening in football. And you could see it because the way the stadium was facing towards London. And you could clearly see North London is definitely red. That was glowing all the way from London over to Brighton. And yeah, what a great day, great game. I enjoyed all our your companies. It was fantastic. But the other thing to look at as well is 38-4. That's the aggregate for our Premier League fixtures since January, since that Fulham game, which could be the game that we regret the most. And we've got the run-in of these games versus Liverpool and Man City. I suppose we'll keep this probably for another night. But, you know, what we see, you know, how many do we see us winning? How many do we see Liverpool winning? How many do we see Man City winning? It's got to be so tight. But Liverpool dropping points yesterday. We're top of the league on goal difference, but it's 9 goals, which is huge, Dan. Huge amount of goals. But still, with the amount of games we got left to go, seven games, I think it is, to go. there's got to be some some upset somewhere along the line, don't you think, Dan?
I don't know, to be honest with you, because I look at those and I've always said I think all three teams win all their home games because they're three very, very strong sides that haven't dropped many points at home. But for me, the league gets one away from home. But our record away from home has just been building and building momentum. And honestly, I'm starting to look at those fixtures and each week goes by, for me, they start to look easier and easier. And look, nothing's going to be easy, but they all look winnable to me. They really do. There's not a single team on our list there that I'm now worried about going to play against. And I'm starting to look at the other two sets of fixtures. And I'm looking at Liverpool thinking, do you know what? I think their bottle started to go a little bit. And it slightly reminds me a little bit of last season where they've got a few injuries at the back. I think it's catching up from a little bit. And the likes of Fulham, Everton, West Ham, Villa, they're not easy places to go to. And I really don't see them winning all of those games. And I think you could probably say something similar to City. Brighton is not an easy place to go. As we said, I only seem to beat them there since August. Forest are absolutely fighting for their lives. I don't expect that to be easy and them to roll over. Fulham's the same. It's not an easy place to go to. And Spurs will probably bottle it because they'll want to give City the league. So probably an easy win there for them. But other than that, I really think people talk about us having the hardest run in. I don't think that's necessarily true now.
Del?
On paper, I've got to say we do have the hardest running on paper. And it's, I mean, as they say, games played on the pitch, not on paper. My concern is City. Have got a reputation for going on these runs at the end of the season and winning titles. That's what they do. You look at the last 4 or 5 years, I think they've done it three out of four years. They are capable of going on a hell of a run. But in the past, we haven't been. But now we are. We're capable. And when we look at those fixtures, right? Dan said it himself a minute ago. The further time goes on, the more you think, actually, is it that bad? Add Brighton to that list. Add our previous game to that list. And all of a sudden, you go, there's a few banana skins in there. Everyone was talking about Brighton being a potential banana skin. But it was one of our best performances of the season. Whereas I think the pressure normally gets to us. I don't think it is at the moment. I think this team now is starting to believe that actually.
Put your phone down, Trevor.
Oh, sorry, boys. I'm trying to get a picture up of you.
I think genuinely we are in a position where the team, that going back to that picture from earlier with Havertz and Jorginho, those pictures aren't hard to find. You look at every goal, not just the goals. Look at if we make a great save or a defensive tackle, the team are together like with passion in their faces. They really believe we can do this. So when we're done on this, I think the further it goes forward, the more it looks realistic, you know, regardless of what other people's games are.
Yeah, Trevor, every game is a cup final. And Annabelle said Spurs is the one that worries her. To be honest, I'm not tempting fate, but Spurs have a style of football at the moment that when you look at our defence, yeah, they might come at us, but I don't see much getting past our defence. And yeah. I think their style leaves them quite wide open at the back.
Yeah, I was just looking at my phone then because I was trying to get it in my head. I saw a Tottenham fan make a comment on social media today, Ferg. But before I go on about the Tottenham fans, Ferg, I must welcome Brighton fans. Welcome Brighton fans to the Saucy Fan Club today. They've been spouting all sorts on social media. Sore losers. Thank you, boys. Please continue because it means we're very good. Now, this Tottenham fan today put on social media something that he'd rather have their two centre-halves than Arsenal's two centre-halves.
I saw that.
Good luck, Ben.
And so I thought...
Early to be drinking that.
I thought to myself, have I fell back to Earth from another planet? Have I missed something? So, and I looked and Tottenham have let in possibly about, I think, nearly twice as many goals as us this season. Not quite twice as many, but very near. And I thought, well, they are properly clutching at straws now, Tottenham fans. They're very worried. They're worried that we're going to go to the league and win it there. And they're worried that we're going to win the Champions League as well. Right. And I hope all their worries come back and haunt them badly, badly. But no, I can't. Of the three teams, Ferg, I think that Liverpool will drop points. I genuinely think that Liverpool will drop points. And I think that either Man City or Arsenal will probably go through the rest of the season unbeaten. Might draw a game, But I think one of us is going to go through the rest of the season unbeaten. I worry about Man City because, as the boys just rightly said, they do come strong and they stay strong, Man City. Consistently strong. But we're right in it, you know. And as Dan rightly said then, I don't fear anybody at the moment. I look at the rest of the games we've got and I think we turn up, we win. We turn up, we win. And we win calmly and collectively and we just pick teams off. So I'm excited, mate. I can't see a weakness. We're going to win the league. We're going to win the league.
Just to wrap up on that, Trev, we said at the start of the season, someone just mentioned in the comments about my shirt, right? At the start of the season, this shirt split a lot of opinion. And everybody,
correct. I think
we all agreed. We all agreed, correct, at the start of the season, said it's irrelevant what we all think of it, because if we win the league or the Champions League or both, it will go down in history. We're that close. We're getting closer, guys.
Yeah.
We're getting closer.
It is true. And that has played. I remember that. And I think we said it on this podcast as well, that, you know, if we do end up winning something with this shirt that I particularly don't like, but I've grown to get used to. Yeah. Listen, before we finish up on the Brighton game, we got to show you what the Arsenal away supporter are like. We are massive and we empty stadiums everywhere we go. Everywhere we go, stadiums are empty.
You see them all walking out and giving it all the fingers and stuff when they're walking as well. Yeah. I love that.
It was absolutely brilliant. I think I remember that person. Like, listen, we're next up tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at the Emirates Stadium. It's going to be 60,000 Arsenal fans in the stadium. Any Arsenal fans known to have sold their ticket to a Bayern Munich fan, if they're a season ticket holder or a red member, they will have their membership or season ticket expunged and they will be banned for a long time. But asked ahead of the game, Arteta asked everybody to, you know, wear red, make some noise. It's a full house.
In the house, a lot of passion, emotion, and we haven't had this opportunity for 15 years. So that says you have a special. This night is going to be for us, so we're going to have to put everything into every ball to make it happen.
Trevor, Arsenal are back at the Europeans top table for the first time in 7 years. You know, and we've got to heal some old wounds against the Germans, who beat us 10-2 the last time on aggregate in this fixture. And our last three games against Bayern Munich, we've lost 5-1. Bayern Munich, on the other hand, are 16 points behind Bayer Leverkusen. After 28 games, and they're out of both domestic cups, the Super Cup and the DFB the DFB, their FA Cup. So the total focus, yeah, don't stop it. Stop it. Could just ignore it. It never happened. Their total focus is going to be the Champions League. So they've got to do everything. They'll have no fans in there. They'll have no fans in the stadium, and hopefully our fans step up and make a lot of noise. What's your expectation of this game?
Look, right, it's very much the same as I said before. We played Porto at home and people thought we were going to wipe the floor with Porto, you know. This is European football. It's different gravy. It's a different style. It's a different tempo. It's a different skill levels. It's the best 8 clubs in Europe going at each other. It's going to be tight with Bayern. I don't care about their league form. I don't care about any other form. It's like 180 minutes of football. Are we going to win? I think we are going to win against Bayern Munich. I really do think we're going to win. And as you rightly said, Ferg, you rightly said, we've got some demons to put to bed with Bayern. We really have. We really have. And I think we'll do that. I'd be quite happy with a 1-0 lead to take to Brighton. I'd be even happier with a 7-0 lead. But to cut to the chase, I really think that we are going to be good enough to beat Bayern Munich. I genuinely do.
Cap or Dan, the reason the Bayern Munich have no fans in the ground is they had a little issue with some pyros at Lazio, and the pyros went on the pitch. You like a pyro, Dan?
Not going to say a word, mate. All I'm saying is there are certain rules and people need to follow those rules in respect to pyro, right. And that's what the line will be from the club. So moving on from that, it's a huge game, this game. For, I think, something in the context outside of just the Champions League, I think if you look at last year, we had certain big games where I think it just knocked our confidence and we fell away a little bit. Whereas this year, it seems to be the polar opposite, where our actual season got kick-started with wins against Liverpool and West Ham. And I think this is another one that could really kick-start us and push us on to that run-in. We're on a run like a City-type run. And this sort of time last year, when they beat the likes of Real Madrid and those sort of teams as well, we just really helped them kick on. Every 3 days, win, win, win. And I think that's what we've got to keep doing. And honestly, Bayern Munich, they're still a good side. They're not as poor as people are making out. They've got a lot of players back in. But I don't think they're as good as us. I think we're a better team. The only thing that they've got that we haven't is experience. So we need to learn quickly. And hopefully we've learned from that game against Porto, both legs really, how difficult they were. And I think if we apply ourselves as we normally do, we'll take a lead over to the Allianz. And I think we need to take a win over there.
Yeah, I think Pods is right. 3 goals plus, because the Allianz is going to be, they got the advantage of having the second leg at home. They know what they need to do.
I don't think we need three, but take a win, like a 2-goal lead at least. But look, we can go away from home now and there isn't a team that I'm worried about us playing against. And honestly, that Man City game gives us so much confidence to be able to go away to any team and do the same thing.
The game management, that was absolutely fantastic. Dale, the Ashburton Army are planning a march and asking everyone to bring scarves and build the atmosphere, which is admirable. And it's fantastic that they're doing that. A little bit of a shame that Red Action put plans in for a TIFO. They wanted an all around the stadium TIFO. The plans got sanctioned in the end, but unfortunately, the club didn't stump up the funds. You know, they've got women's football playing in there and getting loads and loads of people spending extra money. We've got this extra money because of Champions League football. They're asking people to wear red. It's a mixed message, isn't it?
It is indeed. Asking people to wear red as well, I think, is just a silly statement, because we're at home in the Champions League. We wear red anyway. The majority of people will be wearing red. Red and white, in all honesty. I don't understand why the club wouldn't have stumped at the money. I mean, they're obviously going to have their own reasons for it. But what has surprised me is they haven't sent round their usual email, their rallying cry, if you will, to get there early, get the atmosphere going, flags in the North Bank like they did before. We've not seen any of that, which surprises me, considering how passionate Arteta seems to be about this as well. So, I don't know, with the lack of buy-in fans there, I'd like to see a bit more of an effort from the club on that part. Maybe they still will. I don't know. But with that TIFO not being available, I don't know the cost of these things, but I guess they can't be cheap. But I don't get it. I really don't get it. They waste enough money elsewhere.
A full stadium TIFO, which would be like flags everyone can wear, make it red and white right round like we did against Barcelona all those years back, about 30 grand. So, you know.
What's that in the grand scheme of things to a club like Arsenal?
It's not. Lyle, you're right. We care, do they? Arsenal will have Bakayo Saka fit again.
Just quick, Ferg. I'm not sure I fully agree with everyone's comments on this, if I'm totally honest with you.
Okay.
I get the incidental cost as such compared to what revenue we've got. But just an alternative view. Should we be having full stadium TIFOs and things for quarterfinals? or should we be keeping that for maybe our final game at home in a semi-final or a final or those sort of things? As fans, we can do what we need to do for quarterfinals. We can, you know, I like the message that the AA boys put out with the thing of don't forget your scarf still, let's keep that going, and scarves up and singing for North London forever and the flags and things that we've got. That I quite like to have that on a regular basis to keep those flags going. But we've got to have a winning mentality, and the quarterfinal isn't our final. We've got to do a job, but it isn't our final. If we get to a semi-final and we've got a Real Madrid that come calling, or we get to Wembley, by all means, I think I'd be all for it. But I think the club have also done quite well this year. And there's a few games, like the Liverpool game, for example, where they didn't do it and they didn't put too much pressure on the fan base around. You've got to get to that stage before you do it. And the running like we're in now, I'd be a big advocate for doing it. But when you hype up a big game and make it your be a win end all, I think it puts too much pressure on the team as well.
I've got to disagree, Trev, though.
Hang on, Trev, come back.
Come on. Sorry.
No, I can see Dan's point, but I said it before. I've got the hump with Arsenal Football Club at the minute. Not with our players, not with our management team, but them people that sit up in the finance areas and the HR people and the fan liaison people. I don't know if I'm on the right track here, but I'm allowed to say my view, and that is that. I saw it on social media the other day and I was thinking the same thing and it nailed it. They've got to remember, right, that we're fans. We're not customers, right? We're not there to be made a load of money out of, right? We're fans. We're there to do our bit, to lift that team to trophies, right? That's what we're there. That's what we go for. We go because of our love, right? And I think the quarterfinal of the Champions League is something. And Dan's right when he says certain games, but I wouldn't say the semi-final. I would say this game, because we've not been here for years and years and years and years and years. This is different gravy, is the phrase people like to use, isn't it? And I would have liked to have seen the club make a massive effort to do whatever they can tomorrow night to lift our team, because I can guarantee you, when we get to Munich next week, they'll be doing all they can to lift their team.
Yeah.
That you won't hear the Arsenal fans in that stadium very much in Germany, because they will drown us out with their thousands and thousands of people making noise and with their tifos and with whatever. And if the cost of it was £30,000, to me, £30,000 is a hell of a lot of money. It's more money than I could dream of having, to be honest. But to the Arsenal, £30,000, it's not even a quarter of one of the squad players' wages for a week. It's minuscule. Yeah. It's minuscule, £30,000. And if £30,000 is the difference between winning tomorrow and not winning tomorrow, then they should spend the £30,000. Because if we do go through, how many millions are they going to get in prize money? I don't know if I'm on the wrong lines. And if I am, I apologize to anybody. But I really think there are people above Edu, and before you get to Kroenke, there's some people in that organisation at the area, at the Arsenal at the moment somewhere, that don't quite get football and fans. They get football and think make money. They get football and think we want customers, but they don't get fans. And it's got to change for me. It's the last thing that we need to do. I need to go to that club and think, this club want me in this stadium because I am an Arsenal fan. I want to see Arsenal win everything. I don't want to go in the stadium thinking Arsenal don't really want me. They could do without all us season ticket holders. They want people in here that are going to go in a club shop and spend £500. They don't want fans. They want commercial. They want money. And something has got to give there. And I think it's Arsenal Football Club, somewhere within it, has got to give. Because I need to go to that stadium as a fan and I need to be thinking Arsenal Football Club want me here because I'm a fan. And for me, that doesn't happen at the moment, mate. Right, I'll shut up ranting now.
No?
Yeah, and I was just going to mention there's a sentence Dan said there, which is the reason I disagreed. It was, he said, he saved it to the semi-final or something. But for me, every game is a final until we reach the final. If we don't do it now and we go out, people saying we could have done this, we could have done that, I think we've got to do everything, because bearing in mind we've only got two more home games potentially until a potential Champions League final. I think us and the club both have a responsibility to push everything we've got behind each of those two games. It's two games. It's two games potentially. Mm. Two massive potential home games. And those TIFOs aren't a one-off. They can be reused, right? We can use it for the final league game of the season. We can use it for whenever. So you split between the games. It's next to nothing.
Look at the flags on the North Bank, Dell. You know, so they're recycled and reused.
So personally, so for me, every game is a final until we reach that final.
Personally, if we're playing Leighton Orient at home, I'd still want a TIFO. I want as much noise and interaction in the stadium as possible. Trev, reply, and then I want to hear what Dan thinks of it.
Let's get this straight, right? Let's get this straight, because we've heard it from the players' mouths. The more that goes on around that stadium, fans, not customers are in there filming every second. Fans that go there to watch football team win, that's what lifts players. And we know that 100% because it's the players that have told us that. Sorry, Dan, I'll let you get on, mate.
No. I mean, look, they're all very, very valid points. And I do agree that I think the cost is really incidental. And if that's the reason, apparently it passed all the sustainability sort of measures that they need to have. I think that's a poor excuse if it's just cost. But me being a little bit more cynical, I think the TIFOs look great. They're great for TV. They're great for the broadcasting around the world. Does it really have too much of a difference and impact on our fans? I'm not so sure. I think I'd rather that 30 grand be spent on cheap beer for people in the stadium, because I think that will have more of an effect on them. I don't mean it for that reason, but genuinely.
Total people, Dan.
No, but I'm asking as a global impact. I know Ferg's going to keep pissing himself laughing now, but a genuine question.
I actually get your point. It's hilarious.
What do you think is going to have more of an impact on the fan base? Getting them a little bit
if
more
loud. Yeah, exactly. If you do get more pissed, they'll get more singy and make more noise and stuff. Yeah, I do get your point. I just find it hilarious that you went, don't spend it on TIFO, spend it on beer.
No, but, and also, as fans, we get a great kick out of it as well. But, win-win. Listen, vote down. I'll make a good prime minister and get you what you want. Cheap beer.
I don't think we've got any issues injury-wise. I think Saka's okay. There's talk about Yurian Timber, possibly playing another 21 game tonight, and he's back into full training. Somehow I don't see him starting or featuring in this game tomorrow. I think he may feature in the game against Villa, if anything, early on. Will he feature at all? Bayern Munich, they've had lots of issues with injuries. They had up to 8 players out. Well, they had even more at one point. But I think they're down to 2 players, which is Boye and Sarr, that will not be available. Your favourite player, Trev, he's going to be there.
Who's that? How dare you? How dare you mention my name in the same sentence as
that? Tottenham boy, isn't he?
Right. So
he's a Tottenham boy.
Move on. Move on before I jump in a car now and come down your neck of the woods.
You're right, okay. Billy, get up here. I might need backup. Head-to-heads, Arsenal have won 3, drawn 2, and Bayern Munich have won 7. So it is a huge, huge, huge game. Are we doing predictions on this one?
Well, we have to. Of course, yeah, we have to.
Okay,
I'm going to go 3-0.
Yeah,
I'll go 3-1. I think they pose more of a threat than what people think. But I think we'll score 3-1.
I'm going to go 2-0.
Yeah, I'm with Dan and with Jason. I'm going to go 2-0. But it ain't going to be an easy 2-0, guys. Far from it.
It's not. We've got 268 people watching us right now. There's 124 versus 112 on Twitter. Versus me and Trev's Twitter feeds, and we got 33 in on watching us on YouTube. We had up to 50 on YouTube at one point today. We'd love all those people who are watching on Twitter to take a moment and go across to Guns and Yellow Ribbons on YouTube. Follow us and subscribe, then you'll get to know about these programs. We do them on Monday, Which is all about the games. And then the Thursday one is Trevor's idea, and it just created more bloody work for me, which is the preview of all the games that are happening the following weekend with a very Arsenal bias. Boys, it's been absolutely brilliant again to enjoy your company.
Unbelievable. Just so everyone knows, we're just going about 5 or 10 minutes sooner than we would on any other night tonight, because Fergus is going to get beat up if he don't go. So he's bottled it. And
he's going to check it in early.
I'm telling you now, Fergus, if you don't hit the button tonight, me and you, boy, you're in big trouble.
What are you talking foolishness for?
Can I just say before we go, though, guys, right, there's lots of people listening on here, and it seems like there's a lot of people in the comments who are actually going to the game as well. If you are anywhere near block 5 and 6, pop round. I know there's a lot of familiar faces in there, but we really do get the place going. Tomorrow's gonna be fantastic.
It is. We got to do this, haven't we?
I've started this show tonight, mate, and I feel awful and I'm tired and I can hardly speak, but I thoroughly enjoyed that, mate, and I just love doing this. And I just want to send out, right, before you close it officially, I want to send out 278 thank yous, because that's the amount of people we've got watching us at the moment. It blows my mind. I'm so humbled by it. It blows my mind that people want to, I know I carry you most of the time, Ferg, but it still blows my mind that people come and watch us. And I, for one, and I know you boys, we appreciate it very much, people. Very, very much. And I hope you enjoy what you see. And if you think we can do anything differently, drop us a message. Drop us a message. Sorry, Ferg, I'll let you do your business, mate.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Just look, if you like what you see, there it is.
That's an old one. I've not seen that for a while.
Yeah, I know. You have been watching Guns and Yellow Ribbons, an Arsenal podcast by Arsenal fans for Arsenal fans. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll chat to you all on Thursday. And anybody, as Dale said, if you're around Block 5, give us a shout. You'll see the man with the hat and the flag. I'm normally in his ear, giving, tell him what songs is going, but up the arse, fuck the Spurs and Munich.
Thanks for listening to Guns and Yellow Ribbons, an Arsenal podcast by Arsenal fans for Arsenal fans. Follow us on Facebook at Guns and Yellow Ribbons or Twitter at Guns and Ribbons. And remember to rate and review us too. Up the Arsenal.